This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Assange under arrest. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, April 12th. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has been arrested in the UK for skipping bail. He was then rearrested on behalf of the U.S., where he's accused of conspiring to hack into a military computer.
A report says the White House proposed releasing detained migrants into sanctuary cities to make Democrats look bad.
Attorney Michael Avenatti has more legal problems. The former counsel to porn actress Stormy Daniels faces 36 new charges, ranging from fraud to ID theft.
And the rising incidence of positive tests for marijuana at work.
Because we are seeing usage up in those states and elsewhere, it's natural to see an uptick in the workforce as well. But the reality for a lot of employers is just not having a good way of putting some boundaries around when and how and where marijuana should be showing up in drug tests.
Wall Street Journal reporter Kelsey G on pot use at a 14-year high among workers. She's here in about 20 minutes. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is in the custody of British authorities after he was arrested for skipping bail on a rape charge in Sweden. Mr. Assange, also wanted in the U.S., has been holed up for nearly 7 years at the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he sought asylum on the rape charge, a case which has since been closed. Hours after his initial arrest, he was rearrested on an extradition request from the U.S. Here, prosecutors allege that in 2010, Mr. Assange conspired to help former U.S. Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning hack into a Defense Department computer system. What followed was WikiLeaks releasing massive amounts of classified documents that presented a bleak view of the Afghanistan war. Jennifer Robinson is his attorney.
This precedent means that any journalist can be extradited for prosecution in the United States for having published truthful information about the United States.
During the 2016 presidential campaign, from his London confinement on that rape charge, he published tens of thousands of documents the U.S. says were stolen from Democrats by Russian government hackers. Mr. Assange could be extradited to the United States, which has 2 months to make the case for that. He appeared in court yesterday before a British judge at the Westminster Magistrates Court. More from Jeff Mordock, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. Jeff, what do we have?
Julian Assange has been holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London since 2012, since he was wanted for questioning in a sexual assault charge. They finally, after threatening for so many years, the Ecuadorian government finally decided to basically evict Assange and ordered asked the London police to come in and arrest him. He's arrested in London with jumping bail, but he's going to come back to the United States. He's going to face extradition to the United States, where he's going to face a charge of conspiracy, where they're going to allege he conspired with Chelsea Manning to leak government secrets about the Iraq and Afghanistan wars.
All right, so he faces extradition in the U.S. for these charges of publishing classified documents. The U.K. will turn him over, or we're not positive about that?
We're not positive. We do have an extradition treaty with the United Kingdom, but it also requires an extradition hearing in which a judge has to approve the transfer of Julian Assange to the United States. His lawyers, after his court appearance, vigorously insisted they are going to fight this extradition tooth and nail. It'll be interesting to see what happens. The hearing is scheduled for, I believe, May 2nd, so they've got some time, but I think we're going to see a lot of legal filings and a lot of action in the UK to block this move.
It's complicated with him, right? I mean, he's got these charges in the US, he's living in the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK, and he faces a sexual assault charge in Sweden as well.
Right. That's correct. The sexual assault in Sweden was dropped largely because of statute of limitations, but the conspiracy theory he's got, the conspiracy charges he has here in the United States are probably just the initial charges. Once he gets here, I fully expect prosecutors with the Department of Justice to slap a whole host of charges on him. One of the things that's interesting is he's linked to the release of the Hillary Clinton emails, the Democratic National Committee emails, about 20,000 of them. He did not face any charges for that so far. I know the United States is very anxious to charge him with crimes related to those releases, so I would expect that would come later.
We're speaking with Jeff Murdoch, Justice Department reporter at the Washington Times, talking about the arrest of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. What's reaction been like here in the U.S. or in Washington, D.C.?
It's interesting. There's two types. There's been two types of reactions from politicians on both the right and the left. They have been praising the Ecuadorian government for kicking Assange out and having and inviting the London police to come and arrest him. But they've also are directly pointing at the fact that he is a man that they say tried to undermine our election and tried to cause chaos in that sense by releasing the Hillary Clinton emails, and they want to see charges for that. A lot of freedom of press groups, Edward Snowden in particular, and others have really blasted both the London police, the U.S. government, and the Ecuadorian government, basically saying this is journalism. He was doing his job as a journalist, and what you're doing here is making journalism illegal. As a matter of fact, his attorney echoed that same sentiment outside the London court.
Is there a case for that?
Is there an
argument to be made?
I don't see it. I mean, he leaked classified information. He conspired to leak classified information. I don't see how you can make the case that this is journalism.
Yeah. Or publishing, I guess, right? But not journalism.
Right. I mean, he basically, Chelsea Manning gave him, I mean, they hacked computers, they found confidential passwords. I mean, there's allegedly a lot of illegal activity here that they should be. I mean, if you look at the case of James Wolf, the Senate hearing, the Senate staffer who was arrested for leaking information to the press, what he did was far less than what Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning did. And, you know, he faced pretty severe criminal charges.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Murdoch, Justice Department reporter at the Washington Times. The judge, by the way, in yesterday's hearing in the UK, called Mr. Assange, quote, a narcissist who could not get beyond his own selfish interest. The White House is being accused of pressuring immigration authorities into releasing captured immigrants into sanctuary cities, specifically targeting liberal political areas in hopes of hurting Democrats. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
A report from the Washington Post says the White House suggested both transporting migrants who were captured at the border and those currently held in facilities to sanctuary cities where local authorities don't cooperate with federal immigration enforcement authorities. Among the areas targeted, Democratic strongholds, including House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's district in San Francisco. In a statement to the Post, the White House admitted it was just a suggestion that was floated and rejected. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The Post cited emails and officials with Homeland Security. It says the legal department at Immigration and Customs Enforcement pushed back against the proposal for legal, budget, and PR reasons. 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Glad you're with us. President Trump says a third summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is a possibility. During remarks yesterday, however, he reiterated that he would keep U.S. sanctions on Pyongyang in place until North Korea agrees to denuclearize.
A third summit could happen, and it's step by step. It's not a fast process. I've never said it would be. It's step by step.
Mr. Trump spoke during an Oval Office meeting with South Korean President Moon Jae-in, who wants the U.S. and North Korea to make concessions that could lead Pyongyang to get rid of its ballistic and nuclear weapons. Mr. Trump sounded an optimistic tone about the future of talks, adding that he recently opted not to increase sanctions on the Kim regime.
We are discussing certain humanitarian things right now, and I'm okay with that, to be honest. I think you have to be okay with that. And South Korea is doing certain things to help out with food and various other things for North Korea.
The meeting with Mr. Trump and Mr. Moon came after the president and North Korea's leader hit an impasse at nuclear talks in Hanoi back in February. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to British police, hauled a bearded and shouting Julian Assange from the Ecuadorian embassy yesterday, where he was holed up for nearly 7 years. And the U.S. charged the WikiLeaks founder with conspiring with former Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning to get their hands on government secrets. Police arrested Assange after the South American nation revoked the political asylum that had protected him. British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt spoke with Sky News.
No one is above the law. Julian Assange is no hero. He is hidden from the truth for years and years. And it is right that his future should be decided in the British judicial system.
President Trump was asked about Assange's arrest.
I know nothing about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing.
Trump praised WikiLeaks more than 100 times during the stretch run of the 2016 presidential campaign. Authorities have arrested a 21-year-old Louisiana man in connection with the burning of three historic Black Baptist churches since late March. Holden Matthews was arrested Wednesday on three counts of simple arson on religious buildings. St. Landry Parish Sheriff Bobby Gidrow says the father of the suspect is a deputy in his department.
I love Roy Matthews. Roy Matthews is one of my best friends, a great deputy. He knew nothing about his son's activity.
The suspect has been connected to a genre of music known as black metal that advocates white power and white nationalism. Heavy snow and strong winds hammered parts of the central U.S. yesterday, knocking out power to tens of thousands of people and creating hazardous travel conditions. The spring blizzard left behind hundreds of canceled flights at Denver International before blanketing parts of the upper Midwest with up to 2 feet of snow. Hundreds of schools canceled classes in Minnesota, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Disney has pulled the wraps off its video streaming service called Disney Plus. The service will launch in November and will cost $7 a month or $70 a year. Designed to take on rivals such as Netflix, Amazon, and HBO Go, Disney Plus will include movies and TV series from Disney, programming from the Marvel superhero universe, the Star Wars galaxy, Toy Story creator Pixar Animation, and the National Geographic Channel.
So that's what, like 11 subscription services now?
Cha-ching.
Oh, man. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A new report finds that more American workers are testing positive for marijuana as more states allow recreational use. The number of workers and job applicants who tested positive for marijuana climbed 10% last year to 2.3% overall. More on the impact at the office from Kelsey G., management reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Kelsey, what are you hearing?
Some of the employers that we talked to were pretty frustrated by the lack of clarity about what they're supposed to do, about the reality that many of the workers that they employ, especially in states like Massachusetts and California and Colorado, may be using marijuana on the weekends or when they get home from work, but are still required in some settings to test negative for marijuana when they happen to be drug tested.
The point, I think, in the story to a certain extent, too, is that, listen, marijuana is on the rise in society, so it's natural that it would be up, right, among workers, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we are seeing usage up in those states and elsewhere, I think it's natural to see an uptick in the workforce as well. But the reality for a lot of employers is just not having a good way of putting the boundaries around when and how and where marijuana should be showing up in drug tests or other forms of like assessment when they're trying to figure out whether or not someone is capable of doing the job they were hired for.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal management reporter Kelsey G. Her piece is called Drug Tests Show Marijuana Use at 14-Year High Among Workers. And explain the tests, because there can be some confusion with the results, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So most of the drug tests that employers give in America crop up in the
pre-hiring phase. So if you're a job applicant and you're looking to be hired for a construction job or to be a train conductor, for example, you'll be screened before you're even given the job for a number of substances. So it's, you know, marijuana, it's opiates, it's, you know, heroin and cocaine and things like that. But you'll also be tested in some of these safety-sensitive jobs randomly, you know, periodically. If there's an accident, you know, your employer will test you as well. And unlike some of these other substances, marijuana, the psychoactive metabolite in marijuana, so THC, will stay in your system for a very long time. So these tests may come back positive even if a worker in one of those positions, or, you know, just an ordinary office worker, has used the substance, you know, like months ago.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult for employers to know, okay, well, is this person's use impairing their ability to do the job, or, you know, are they having issues totally unrelated to use?
Thanks, Kelsey. Kelsey G., management reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In today's age, it can be hard to find the time to sit down and learn more. It's not easy when social media can be so addictive, right? So you may think you don't have the time to read a book or develop yourself. If that's the case, there's an app I highly recommend. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that identifies the key takeaways, the need-to-know info, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them into about 15 minutes so you can read or listen. I like Blinkist because it has a massive and growing library, from self-help and business to health and history books. I can indulge in the topics I want without having to read the entire book. When time is hard to find, find Blinkist. Perfect for your commute. Always wanted the skinny on The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Blinkist is for you. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/morning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, April 12. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Assange arrested in the UK. The U.S. wants him extradited. White House wanted to move detained migrants to sanctuary cities to make Democrats look bad before the election. Rutland High School in Vermont will fly a Black Lives Matter flag for the next year. Reservations begin today for the new Samsung phone that's nearly the price of a used car. Bed Bath & Beyond closing 40 stores. And with the Masters underway, a look at the unusual rules at Augusta, like the cell phone ban. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell Small Business Advisors can help you maximize this year's budget and find the right business PC with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Could the Federal Reserve become a partisan weapon? For more than a generation, the Federal Reserve has floated above politics, even as partisan conflict has consumed other public institutions. Because political appointees have behaved so apolitically, it's become a norm taken for granted by both parties until now. So says Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at The Wall Street Journal. Greg, what's up here?
So there's been a lot of concern that President Trump is trying to politicize the Fed. He's been heavily critical of its chairman, Jerome Powell, saying that it raised interest rates too much. And he's recently nominated two individuals for seats on the 7-member Board of Governors. Their names are Stephen Moore and Herman Cain. And the concern is that their qualifications to make monetary policy are pretty thin. And Mr. Trump seems to have picked them mostly because they're very vocal advocates for his policies. Specifically, he seems to want them to get on the Fed and hold interest rates down to help him get reelected. That's raising a lot of concerns that the president is politicizing what has traditionally been a nonpartisan, independent organization.
I'm not either supporting or rejecting the idea, but he's the president. Is he not entitled to do this, whether we like it or not?
The president is indeed entitled to nominate individuals to the Fed, and those individuals must then be confirmed by the Senate. And the fact of the matter is that for more than 30 years, the Fed has been pretty apolitical. It's been mostly run by Republicans, but honestly, I can't find any evidence that they were nicer to Republican presidents in terms of keeping interest rates lower than they were to Democrats. We had a Democrat for 4 years, Janet Yellen, and she began raising interest rates while Barack Obama was president. And this, I think, just basically reflects a sort of a technocratic, nonpartisan consensus by both people on the Fed and in the political world that this is a job that politicians shouldn't do, and you should leave it in the hands of experts who can be objective about the data. I think what we see changing is that the president is less interested in having individuals who use their own judgment about what policy should do and want to follow what Mr. Trump thinks they should do.
I guess it can be fairly argued, after all, that this is perhaps the most powerful body in the world?
It is certainly the most powerful economic institution in the world. What the Federal Reserve does influences interest rates. It then indirectly influences exchange rates like the dollar and the euro. It affects the stock market, and over the long run, it affects economic growth and inflation. So these decisions touch on everybody. It's also a pretty powerful regulator. It decides what banks can do, for example, whether they can merge.
We're speaking with Greg Ipp, Wall Street Journal chief economics commentator. He's written a piece entitled, It's Up to the Senate Whether the Fed is Politicized. How much of this is about making sure the economy looks good ahead of the 2020 elections?
Well, presumably that's a factor there. In fact, one of the nominees, Stephen Moore, said in a radio interview himself that he thinks that the president will be reelected unless the economy weakens, and he cited excessively tight policy by the Fed as one reason why the economy might weaken.
All right. How about the Senate's role here, then, as you point out in the title of the piece?
So I think that there are three parties that have to be complicit for the Fed to become politicized. One is the president. One is the Fed chairman, him or herself. And thus far, I don't see any signs that Jerome Powell is going to bend to the wishes of the president. We've had Fed chairmen who were pressured in the past, like under Nixon. They sort of acquiesced. But then people like Paul Volcker and Alan Greenspan resisted in the face of political pressure from the president. The next player in the room is the Senate. And the reason why is that when governors or the chairman are nominated, the Senate gets to confirm them. And historically, senators have looked at these jobs as ones that should be filled based on qualification. Do you have a background in economics? Do you have a background in finance? Do you have a background in banking? Do you have a background in economic policy, public service, where you can sort of show the judgment and the apolitical judgment necessary to do this job? We've had individuals of all those sorts of backgrounds. You don't have to be a PhD economist to do this job. You just have to show sort of like a sense and ability to grasp the data and arrive at a well sort of thought out argument and conclusion. But what we've seen in other areas, the most obvious being the Supreme Court, is that senators increasingly don't look just at qualifications. They look at ideology. They want to make sure that the individual that's been nominated doesn't just do their job well, but does it in a way that is kind of simpatico with the agenda of the party in power. In the case of the Fed, that would mean, like, don't raise interest rates too much ahead of an election where Republican incumbents are at risk. If the president, a Republican, wants to cut taxes, don't counteract the effect by raising interest rates. And even though that has not been vocalized as the priority of senators, we have heard individual senators speak as if that is, in fact, their priority when they look at these jobs.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. By the way, four Republican senators have now said they would oppose the nomination of former restaurant executive Herman Cain to the Federal Reserve Board. The Journal says that pretty much ends Mr. Trump's hopes of placing a political ally there. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's Friday, which means you might be just about ready for a change of jobs, even if it's only temporary and pays mostly in candy. The Mars Wrigley Confectionery announced it's offering a paid internship to someone willing to taste new candy flavors in Chicago. Candy Maker says that this year's winning candidate will also be responsible for organizing public events and activities on behalf of the company, so it's not all just an excuse to have an all-day sugar rush. The 8 to 12 week Chicago-based internship, which the company says will be fully paid, carries duties including taste testing new candy flavors, creating a personalized chewing gum flavor, visiting various Mars Wrigley facilities across the country, and documenting your experience with the company on social media. The benefits include a signing bonus of 1 year's worth of candy.
That's a benefit?
That's the signing bonus.
I see.
Now, exactly how much candy is that and how is that measured?
Right.
I would need to know this.
Yeah.
Before saying yes and signing on the dotted line. Because your idea of a year's worth of candy and my idea of a year's worth of candy might be completely different.
Fair enough.
Yes.
I was just thinking about this internship compared to one that we have here.
Yes.
Well, ours is legit.
Yeah.
We train you.
Sure.
And we place you in the industry.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, that's pretty much been our record.
Right.
We're pretty much batting 1,000 with placing young kids in the radio industry.
For sure.
Based on the training we give them.
Yes.
You know, we don't pay them in candy or anything like that or say, hey, here's a microphone.
Yes.
This is a legit operation here. I don't know what y'all are doing there. It's
we do have a machine that makes free coffee. That's what we have.
That's your one benefit. And you can come here at 3 a.m. when there's no traffic.
Exactly.
Another benefit of interning with us. Yeah.
And good news, Gordon, for those looking to avoid traffic accidents related to gators in South Carolina. They are apparently well-versed in pedestrian laws. That was the takeaway from a viral video posted this week that showed an alligator using a crosswalk to cross a road near the entrance to Huntington Beach State Park. The video, which shows the gator carefully crossing the road from left to right, comes less than 8 months after a video was posted showing one crossing in the crosswalk in the opposite direction. When the first video was posted last August, the Myrtle Beach Sun News wrote, "Humans who illegally cross the road should learn from this wise gator."
Yeah. They haven't survived millions of years because they're dumb, right?
Right.
Yeah, they use the crosswalk.
Yeah. They know what they're doing.
You can read signs. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Day one for a new employee. Instead of joining in productively, they face a confusing, disjointed process and piles of paper forms. With Kronos, you can automate the entire onboarding process, creating a better experience for employees and freeing you to focus on the human part of your job. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/onboarding. Kronos. Workforce innovation that works.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm and you can handle it, you can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. Want to save money at the pump? Fill up on Monday morning on your way to work. In a study provided exclusively to USA Today, GasBuddy assessed the best day to fill up and the worst day to fill up nationwide and in each state. While Monday is the best day on average nationwide to fill up, today, Friday, is the worst day. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis for GasBuddy, says very early in the week, when gas stations are generally a little bit quieter traffic-wise, is a great time to fill up. He says we generally see more volatility and higher prices later in the week. On Mondays, some prices tick upward in the afternoon, so it's often a good idea to fill up in the morning. On Fridays, prices often spike in part because some stations are seeking to make more money ahead of weekend trips. Stations are busiest on Friday afternoons around 5 p.m. GasBuddy says if you fill up exclusively on Friday, you could save $20 to $30 or more per year by switching to Monday. There are exceptions, though. For example, Tuesday is the best day to fill up in 19 states. You're living in Utah? The best day is Sunday. Hawaii? Try Wednesday. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Court in the Trump administration proposed releasing immigrant detainees onto the streets of sanctuary cities, including San Francisco, on at least two occasions within the past 6 months in hopes of hurting Democrats. The Washington Post reports that the proposal was first floated in November amid reports of a large migrant group from Central America making its way to the southern border. The other time was considered in February, occurred during a standoff between Trump and Democrats over border wall funding. The Post says it was rejected both times by immigration agencies. The UK will decide whether to extradite WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange to the U.S. following his arrest yesterday at the Ecuadorian embassy in London. The Justice Department claims Assange conspired with former U.S. intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning to download classified databases. Assange's lawyer, Jennifer Robinson, says they'll fight the extradition request.
This precedent means that any journalist can be extradited for prosecution in the United States for having published truthful information about the United States.
Assange took refuge in the embassy in 2012 to avoid extradition to Sweden over a sexual assault case that has since been dropped. In a British court yesterday, Assange was found guilty of failing to surrender to the court. Former Obama White House counsel Greg Craig has been indicted on charges of making false statements and concealing information in a federal foreign lobbying investigation that intersected with the Russia probe. Craig was charged yesterday in a two-count indictment that accuses him of willfully concealing material facts from the Justice Department about work he performed for the Ukrainian government. Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau are the players to catch heading into the second round of the Masters, with Phil Mickelson just one shot back. Koepka birdied four straight holes on the back nine, and DeChambeau carded birdies on six of his final seven holes for six under 66s. He spoke to reporters after his round.
If I get driven enough to where it's been a long enough time to where we haven't figured something out, I will exhaust every resource until I figure it out. And that's common with me. I become almost a little, in a positive way, OCD about trying to complete something.
Ian Poulter and Dustin Johnson are two shots back. Tiger Woods is at minus two.
I've seen at least a couple of reports saying Tiger Woods is right where he wants to be.
Yeah.
Okay, it's been one day.
I know.
He's minus two. He's tied for 11th.
He brings the viewers. You've got to hype him up.
It's not where he wants to be.
Yeah.
Everybody relax. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Friday. Unlike other tournaments of note, cell phones are banned at the Masters, which began yesterday at Augusta National Golf Course in eastern Georgia. Attendance figures aren't revealed, but the LA Times says it's been said that the tournament might be the largest gathering of people devoid of cell phones. Should they need to make a call, Masters patrons, that's what spectators are called at this tournament, can use banks of free phones at various locations around the course. But with tickets so hard to get, not many people choose to gab unless it's absolutely necessary. And that's not the only Masters rule that makes it easier for the players to concentrate. At other tournaments, members of the media are allowed to walk inside the ropes that mark the playing area, not at the Masters. There's no running either, so the best patrons can do is a brisk walk from hole to hole. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.